Blog Talk Radio.
To this thematic show, hip hop's finest hour on the radio. This week I got a guest appearance on the Hypnotic Show of ex-president Obama, Barack Obama. He's going to go over some interview with him later on in the show. And also make sure to get the shoes at hypnoticshoes.com. Also, I got glasses now as well, hypnotic glasses. And then you can get Oakley limited edition on there. And then as far as the shoes go, I actually got three different types of shoes now. So I added more on there. I got Nike, I have Converse, as well as my own. So, yeah, so definitely go. And also make sure you start your day off right. Again, hypnoticcoffee.com. Every day I start my day off with 3 cups of hypnotic coffee. The only way to start your day. So make sure you do that. And here we go. On to the bangers.
Hey, yo, man, you remember that shit Easy did a while back? Motherfucker said it wasn't going to work.
Boy, that was crazy shit.
Yeah, the stupid shit, man.
Dope.
Hey, yo, Easy. Hey, man, we should come off the piano for a minute, man, and bust this crazy shit.
Woke up quick at about noon, just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind, young niggas at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip. Hell's outside and pointed my weapon. Just as I talked, the fools kept stepping. Jumped in the foe, hit the juice on my ride. I got front and back and side to side. Then I let the Alpine play. Off the new shit buying WA. It was gangster at the top of the list. Then I played my old shit, it went something like this. Cruising down the street in my 6-4. Jocking the bitches, slapping the hoes. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit.
Say what?
Donald B's in the place to give me the face. You say my man JD is on free base. The boy JD was a friend of mine till I caught him in my car trying to steal an Alpine. Taking up the streets to call a truce. The silly motherfucker pulls out a deuce. Little did he know I had a loaded 12 gauge. One sucker dead, LA Times front page. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit. Get ill, so I went to a spot where my homeboys chill. The fellas out there making that dollar, I pulled up in my 6-4 Impala. They greet me with a 40 and I start drinking, and from the 8-ball my breath starts sticking. Left to get my girl to rock that body before I left. I hit the Bacardi, went to a house to get her out of the past. Dumb hoe said something that made me mad. She said something that I grabbed a stupid bitch by a nappy ass weed. Started talking shit, wouldn't you know? Reached back like a pimp, slapped the hoe. A father jumped up and he started to shout, so I threw a right cross and knocked his old ass out. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit. I'm rolling hard now under control. Then wrapped the 6-4 around a telephone pole. I looked at my car and I said, oh brother, I throw it in the gutter and go buy another. Walking home and I see the G ride. Now cat is driving, kilo on the side. As they busted a U, they got pulled over. An undercover cop in a dark green Nova. Cat got beat for resisting arrest. He socked a pig in the head for ripping his guest. Now G is cocked for doing the crime. Fourth offense on the boy, he'll do some time. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your cart. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit. No bail. The fella saw the ride in the county jail. 2 days later in municipal court, Kilo G on trial, cold cut of four. Stepping up a court, said the judge. On a 6-year sentence, my man didn't budge. Bailer came over to turn him in. Kilo G looked up and gave a grin. Yelled out fire, then came Susie. The bitch came in with a submachine Uzi. Police shot the bitch, but didn't hurt her. Both upstate for attempted murder. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit. Yeah, I kicked a little ass, but that was a blast in the trash, motherfucker. Busy up, yep, yep, yep.
Time to wait, my nigga. Time to get to it, bruh. Let's do it.
Yeah. Man, if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools, I'm getting to it.
Driving my squad to losing control. I'm seeing the light, but I'm losing the road. I'm ugly by night with a beautiful soul. I went from hanging up posters to being hung up in your room. From the streets to the cells where them suckers be stuffing balloons. Come get it, I got it, just slip, you ain't making it home. I got a big ego and ego, let's say to the throne. It's never about nothing unless it's involving some paper. And if I can't say you nothing, I'll talk to you later. The eyes of a killer is nothing when spotting a faker. Outside of your building, you ordered, I squat like a waiter. I should've been this and I could've been that. I walk with the fifth and I ride with the mag. Outlaw, G-A-N-G-S-T-R. We're throwing somebody else inside my motherfucking car. Chill.
Man, if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools, I'm getting to it.
I'm a blimp. Yeah, you hatin', I float the ocean, shrimp and fish. I don't smoke, but if I do, I'ma roll some lish. Top rank, I go hard, like Tyson's fist. I get to it, there's nothing to it. Hypnotic to Nike, I just do it. Can't even explain how I became this sick. All this money, how I became this rich. I'm getting to it,
yeah. Man, if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it.
I gotta get yours. I gotta get mine. You gotta get yours. I gotta
Yeah. E3. Hypnotic. Hustle shit. Nigga, what?
You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way to Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way to Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray.
I grind hard like my life's on the line. It's a cold world, so I'm best friends with a rifle and a nine. So much money on my mind, I go psycho at times. Born to Mac, how I cycle through dimes. Right outside my door, I'm so close to crying. I grind harder, y'all can never get close to mine. I might give you props for trying, but it's really like seeing a fight against a deer and a lion. Yeah, I paint a picture clearer than a diamond. Yeah, I spit scriptures, you gotta rewind them. And yeah, I'm the best, I gotta remind them. Or pull the mask off and put 90 inside them. Get them.
You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. Grind, nigga, my G hypnotic, nigga, we on. Full-fledged, all about the drama, if you want some. Fuck them games that these suckers play, I'm on the hunt to get it. I'm on my way to the top, no, I ain't bullshit. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, yeah, all the way through Sunday. No days, I'll get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. A nigga like me bleed green, I'm on another tip. Mr. E3, they must not know who they fucking with. Second son of the king, believe I'm on my hustle shit. Straight beast, I'll be the wrong one to tussle with. My pop's gone, but he taught me well. Ain't no way I'm being broke, nigga, everything's for sale. If I see them coppers meet, I might lead a bell. Outta here, get this Lucci, fuck the competition, burn in hell. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. You can catch me on the grind, yeah, every day. Monday, all the way through Sunday. No days off, get paid each and every way. Fucking around with my money, I let the chopper spray. Nigga.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show, hip hop's finest hour on the radio. This week we have guest appearance by former President Barack Obama. I'm going to be doing the interview shortly. And yeah, let's get to it.
About your TV show, you want to say something about the WGA strike, the Writers Guild strike. So why don't we start there?
Well, part of what the show working is about is how certain things are constant about the work experience. side. People trying to find work that's satisfying, people trying to pay the bills. Unfortunately, one of the things that's also been constant is the struggle for people to make sure their employers are treating them fairly and they're getting a fair share of the pie. And you know, I think what we've seen throughout American history is that unions and worker organizations have had to make demands on their employers, you know, those that are controlling whatever industry they're in, to make sure they're treated fairly, and entertainment's no exception. So my hope would be that at a time of big technological change, where you've got big mega corporations that are doing really well, that they keep in mind the creative people who are actually making the product that consumers appreciate and that gets exported all around the world. And you know, I know that you know there are many studios and streamers who feel a little bit embattled, you know, that there's been a little bit too much of a glut of product, and they're looking at their bottom line and they're experiencing shareholder pressure, et cetera. But the fact is that they wouldn't be around if it weren't for writers who were creating the stories that matter. And and my hope is that as somebody who's really supportive of the Writers Guild,
and you're a TV maker now yourself,
and as somebody who just believes in storytelling and the craft of it, you know, I'm hoping that that they will be compensated, and the importance of what they do will be reflected in whatever settlement's arrived at. So I'm very supportive of the writers and the strike, and I'm hopeful that you know, they get a fair share of the fruits of their labor.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the TV show.
Yeah.
I want to start by talking about the book, because one of the things that you say in the TV show is that this book meant a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you read it. You read it in school? Or did you read
You know, I'm trying to remember the exact dates. I mean, it was probably somewhere between junior, senior year in college and mm-hmm. the time that I was organizing. So, yeah, this would have been, you know, somewhere in the early 80s,
okay. 81,
82, 83.
Yeah.
And
Can you remember what it is that hit you so hard? Like, why did it get to you, that it stuck in your head?
So I think part of it had to do with it was the first time that I had seen an unfiltered collection of voices like that.
Yeah.
Where people were able to just speak directly to a vital part of their lives.
Yeah.
And Studs was such a master listener. Right, you know, and he was so curious about everybody's life. And this was at a time when I was beginning to work as a community organizer and was discovering for myself that everybody had a story, that everybody's story was sacred, that everybody,
yeah.
If you listened hard enough, you know, would tell you something not just about themselves, but about the world and about yourself. And how we connect, and you know, I think part of what also resonated with me is, you know, I'd grown up with my mother, but also my grandparents, who were part of a generation of people who weren't always happy in their job.
Yeah.
Right? The jobs were sometimes too small for them, but their attitude was, look, I don't work for satisfaction. I work to pay the bills and
mm-hmm.
look after my family. And I found that I could see them and hear them and understand them better in reading the book.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, it's interesting. What it's such an equalizing vision, that book. Like,
yes.
Everybody's in there, and
yeah.
there's like a. It's funny. The explicit message that he's saying throughout it is like, oh, people like the, you know, we should listen to people like who aren't listened to, and but then the thing that he never says out loud, but by lining up all the people is just like, oh, everybody's making different kinds of money and different races, but everybody's kind of like right there. There's a very like, there's no Black America, White America, Red America, Blue America. It's all America built into like what's there.
Well, two things are going on in the book. I think what he does just by how he structures it, how he puts it together, is he is insisting on the equal dignity and worth of everybody. He's seeing all of them. And he's saying this tapestry of humanity is what makes things work.
Yeah.
And we're all a part of that.
Yeah.
But what he's also doing inside the book is laying bare the degree to which work experiences vary greatly depending on where you are in the status and money hierarchies in our culture.
Yeah.
And that you have extraordinarily insightful, thoughtful people who, because of circumstances, because they weren't born in the right neighborhood or didn't go to the right school or didn't have, because of the color of their skin or their gender, were trapped. I remember there was a line, I don't remember which person in the book was talking about it, but where they said something to the effect of, I can't put everything into my work because I would have to shrink my soul, right? It's too small.
The job is too small.
The job's too small for my soul, right? And I
and
that I think captures the circumstances of a lot of people as well.
Well, and it's Spence's attitude. Like the opening line of the intro is something like this book is about work. This book being about work by its very nature is about violence to the spirit as well as the body.
And that comes through, right?
Yeah.
And part of what I appreciated about the book was it didn't try to romanticize or gloss over the just sheer grind that occupies most people's days. That they are working to exhaustion in many circumstances, and they're not making a lot of money, and they're just barely getting by. And yet, what you also hear is the pride they take in doing their jobs well, and the skill and the attention that's required, not just to do their job well, but by extension, just to make this society of ours work. It reminds me of, what happened during the pandemic, right? When suddenly we discovered quote unquote essential workers.
Yeah.
Well, they were essential the whole time. It's just we weren't paying attention. To the degree to which they are doing hard, tough jobs that allow everything else to function.
I've been told this is a project you've wanted to make ever since you started your production company, Higher Ground, that you wanted to do a show about work. Like, why make this into TV? What was your impulse to make it into television?
Well, I think that these days, sadly, everything's visual.
Yeah.
You see it in the culture. You compare book sales to
everything else. Yeah,
and so I just wanted, at a moment in time where I think there's a lot of anxiety about what's next, right? Where we've seen globalization and automation and unions being battered and offshoring and now AI. People are concerned about their work, and yet it's not a topic that you see a lot on TV.
Yeah.
Right? I think I mentioned at some point during the show, when I was growing up, there were still a lot of depictions of working class life on television. You had films like Norma Rae or
it was All in the
Blue
Family,
Collar,
the Jeffersons. People were just on TV.
Working people were on TV all the time. And somewhere around the 80s, 90s, it was like the only people on television were doctors or lawyers or
Well, this is
bankers.
The thing I wanted to ask you about. There's a thing that you say in your podcast with Bruce Springsteen, where you say there's a story that we tell in this country about what it means to succeed and what we value. And you say in the podcast that part of what you're trying to do in this period of your life, after your political career, is tell a story that's counter to the one that's out there.
Yeah.
And could you just lay that out? Like, what's the story that you see told about work? And is this TV show part of your counter-programming?
I think we, as a society, have become obsessed with wealth and the pursuit of stuff. And everything else is subservient to that.
Yeah.
I went back and was reading one of my favorite passages from Bobby Kennedy's speeches. He's describing GDP.
I know that.
And what
yeah.
And what he describes of as the poverty of affliction or the poverty of satisfaction that afflicts us all. Because he says somehow
GDP, the gross domestic product,
yes.
the measure of how much money is made in the country,
and our economic growth, and he says somehow our GDP measures, you know, the locks we have on our doors and the locks we put on the prisons for people who are breaking down those doors because they don't have enough. It measures nuclear warheads and rifles, but it doesn't measure the health of our children or the quality of their education or the joy of their play. It doesn't measure the strength of our marriages. It doesn't measure wit or, you know, wisdom. And he ends by saying, so essentially, it doesn't count those things that are the most important in our lives. And, you know, I think part of what part of the subtext in this series is this: we know what's important. We know that pride and a sense of purpose in what we do, and connections, and relationships, and family.
Yeah.
That those are the things that last. And yet, that's not really how we organize our economy. And it's not what we recognize. And part of the reason that you see people exploited and underpaid and put on temp work, and the fact that now suddenly, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, if you were a janitor in a big company, you were part of a company and you had the same benefits as the engineer in that company, and now you don't even work for that company.
It's subcontracted.
It's all subcontracted out.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of the bonds that hold us together, those values that are extraneous to the bottom line or the quarterly earnings report.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's been lost, and I think that part of the reason why, even when the economy is growing, or even when unemployment is relatively low, there's still anxiety.
Yeah,
is a recognition that somehow,
well, management is done away with all that stuff.
Yes.
They just don't see that
it's
valuable,
extraneous.
As important. They don't need
not,
to build a community in their business. They don't need to give back to their communities
the same way. You know, you look at a place like the Hotel Pierre, which is
profiled in the show,
and it is a union shop.
Right.
And in that sense, it's sort of an outlier. Right?
Yeah.
But you see the stories of these folks who, the housekeepers, the custodial staff, the telephone operators, all of them are supporting middle class themselves in middle class lives. There's extraordinary continuity. There's this great sense of family.
People stay in those jobs.
They rise up through the ranks in those jobs. And they're so invested and committed to that place's success. Now, if you looked at a management 101 course these days, they would say, well, there's all these inefficiencies that you should be able to squeeze more profit out if we redid this or that or the other. And yet, is that the world we want, right? Or do we want a place where people know each other,
yeah,
and they're committed to each other, and they're invested in their customers because they're,
yeah,
all feel some sense of ownership about what it is that they do. And I think that's a reflection of what it is that I think people are longing for, but we don't have a lot of ways of expressing that because...
And don't even talk about it.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's not measured in our GDP, and it's not in our public debates. And that's part of what I wanted to get at in the show.
Okay, so you're narrator and host of the show. I think we should play a clip so people can see you in that role. And so I have one from the first episode. You're with a health aide named Randy Williams and her baby daughter. You're in Mississippi in this clip. And you point out in the show that half the country does service jobs like hers, so-called low-wage jobs. And Randy, in this scene, she's doing her grocery shopping, and you guys talk about whether to get liver or gizzards, and she's really funny, and you guys joke around. She says she makes $1,400 a month. And then let's roll the clip.
Do you have an idea in your mind about what work should be? Because some folks, like my mother-in-law and my grandmother, you know, their attitude was, I don't go to work to feel good or to get meaning or...
I go to work to pay my bills.
And I think younger folks, I think our attitude... You know how I said our attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're young as you feel, baby.
But especially with your generation, I think sometimes people expect that they should feel fulfilled in their work, that paying the bills isn't enough.
I just want to be at home, on my porch, in my rocking chair, my refrigerator full, my bills is paid, my child is kept. That's the dream.
You're fine.
That's peace.
And then this is an incredibly beautiful moment that follows where she asks you a question, where she asks you, are you at peace? And then you give her a totally for real, like, you totally try to answer the question in this way that I found, like, so, like, touching. I was like, oh, you are having an actual conversation with this person. And have you thought about, like, what it means to have you be the person on camera doing the Studs Terkel interviews? Did you think about, like, the feeling that that gives the show?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think our director, Caroline Sue, had done an extraordinary job, mm-hmm, building up trust and getting people to feel comfortable in, you know, revealing their lives and talking about both their hopes and their struggles. So I was benefiting from some of that.
Yes, but
that
then it's you. Like, can I say, like,
yeah,
like, for me as a viewer, and like, yes, I knew Studs, and you told me before we came on, you knew Studs,
yes,
a little bit too. Like, okay. Like, I feel like by being one of the most famous people on the planet, right? Like, I mean, with respect, this iconic historical figure.
There's a Heisenberg principle involved here.
Yeah. Right? But also, it's like you're a character from Mount Rushmore who happens to be walking around among us while you're also like a guy, okay? Like, all of those things, I say with respect, no offense. And so for you to have a conversation where you're talking to somebody who's making a little more than minimum wage, like, and engaging them in a real conversation and treating them as an equal, like, it's demonstrating for us this thing that's kind of, like, built into Studs' book. Studs' book is saying kind of like, oh, look, we're all the same, everybody's on a level playing field, but you're demonstrating as drama, like the dramaturgy of it is, like, because it's you having that conversation, like, you're doing this. It, like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, this takes Studs a step further. I wish he could see it. Like, he would be so pleased.
He would probably be pleased. I understand your point. We wanted, the reason I was saying that Carolyn had set up trust was because one of the frustrations of being president is it changes the space around you.
Yes.
Right? And the...
Yeah, the world is really weird for you.
That everybody's a little nervous and everybody's got preconceptions, and I can't tell you how many times people will be in a photo line and they're saying, like, I was trying to think of what to say, and so being able to enter into a conversation with people where I can be just a guy,
yeah,
I think was really important. But and we tried to do it sparingly in the sense of not having me in every shot and every screen, because it's really one of the things that Studs taught me, just like my work as a community organizer taught me, was listen. People can tell their own stories. They don't need you to tell their stories.
Yeah.
They have a voice, as is demonstrated by the extraordinary people that we feature in this show. What you're picking up on, which I do like, and I do think that this is part of why Studs was such a quintessentially American writer, is there's a democratic aspect to what he did and what I was trying to do.
And to what it is for you. Like, did you think about this and thinking about, oh, I'm going to be on screen with that? Or did you only see it when you saw the footage?
No, I think it's embedded in how I think about how I thought about my work even when I was president.
Yeah.
You know, what to me, what makes America exceptional is we explicitly say, right at the beginning, as we declare independence, all men are created equal. Now, leaves out women, we know the history, but that principle that I'm no better than anybody else, but I'm no worse than anybody else. We all have, regardless of station and wealth and status, we all have this inherent dignity that has to be recognized, right? And that, I think, is that's part of the spirit that Studs brought to his book. It's what we wanted to communicate in this project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what I also think has to be reflected in our economic arrangements and our workplaces. That sense of everybody counts.
Great interview. Get back on to the bangers.
Is this for the ones in the broken homes? We had to get it in on our own. Now we rolling stones. Now we rolling stones. This is for the ones in the broken homes. We had to get it in on our own. Now we rolling stones. Now we rolling stones.
Mama left me when I was just 2 years old. The product of a broken home. That's how the story goes. My pops held it down when times were dark. You're looking down from the heaven, but it got him in my heart. This is for the misfits and have-nots. I used to be a have-not, but now I got locked. Work hard, play later, you see my beamer on that block. Haters scheming, wanna see me pop. The life of a rolling stone, this ain't rap, this is real. I was chosen, homes. I'm what the streets made me. Mama was gone, so Papa had to raise me. Much, but I was just a little baby. It didn't take a rocket science to figure out this life shit is crazy. Mama, bring it home, different men every single day. And yeah, I'm starting to think my mama is a whore. Yeah, something's going on and I got no influence. So I'm running from the police and the truancy. Never go to school, plus I'm slanging. My life is so dangerous, don't wanna see my face. So I'm maintaining it. And I know I gotta keep it going. Cause the shit inside my head gonna keep on flowing. Try my thoughts crazy ever since a baby. I've been figuring out through my full of life how to make it.
Rolling,
Kobe, rest in peace, Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. They've been acting like they all know me. All my haters are trying to slow me, but I'm topping like I'm Obi, swishing like a Obi. There ain't nothing y'all can show me. If this is my last game, I'm dropping 60. I'm a OG, dropping 81, ripping Raptors. In 06, I'm a part owner, but swear, I've been a fan since. There's certain people that just can't diss. I stay hot, steady, swishing, I can't miss. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, I dropped 30 for a ring. I'm locked in it, Mamba from within. People taking shots at me, only hit the rim. When I'm shooting for the win, guaranteed it's going in. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe. Blew a stack, left the club with a baddie. She said, if you wanna see me, just send the addy. Shit, we just met, but she already called me daddy. She tryna fuck me in the back of my Bugatti. She don't wanna leave me. Yeah, she know I got the juice. I got too many options, but I still don't wanna choose. Time passed, and I still don't wanna lose. It's hypnotic, man. This flow will get you loose. I've been ballin', I'm in the bag, and the feeling, money calling quit. Now, let me do the talking, yeah. I'm going hard till I'm in a coffin. I'm ballin', man, like me. Don't wanna come around often. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe.
Yeah. dog is here. With a nigga like me, G to the M to the X. Last I heard, that niggas was having sex with the same sex. I show no love, the homo thug. Empty out, reload, and throw most thugs. How you gonna explain fucking a man? Even if it's squash the beef, I ain't touching your head. I don't fuck with chumps. For those that been to jail, that's a cat with the Kool-Aid on his lips and pumps. I don't fuck with niggas that think they bronze. Only know how to be one way, that's the dog. I know how to get down, know how to bite. Bark very little, but I know how to fight. I know how to chase a cat up in a tree. Man, I gave y'all niggas the business for fucking with me. It's crazy.
Barack Obama, former president. Make sure you guys go on my shoe site, hypnoticshoes.com. Got a lot of limited edition. I got Nike on there. I got Converse that we got. I got regular ones that I built as well, you know, so you can grab them. Make sure to get Hypnotic Coffee. You know, make sure to start your day off right every day and night, 24/7. I pretty much do. And so hypnoticcoffee.com. Make sure to grab my glasses. I got my limited edition glasses. They're Oakley glasses, and those bad boys are up online as well. Those will go all. Everything limited edition is named that for a reason. You know, it's gonna go. It's limited edition, and there's not many of them made, and they're gonna sell very quick. They already have. They've already been doing very well. But I'm gonna keep throwing more out there, and you know that's what I do. You know, and then next week's hypnotic show, I'll let you guys know. You know, I would say at the latest by tomorrow who it's going to be. But, it'll definitely be nothing but top-notch. That's what I do. You know, nothing but bangers on the Hypnotic Show and hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. And then also make sure to grab my record. It's everywhere online. The Outcome. And then make sure to download my mixtape, my double mixtape, Money Never Sleeps, because money never sleeps. Make sure to grab that, share it, get it out there. And then, you know, I'm going to keep grinding. You know how I do it. I want to say the hardest worker in showbiz, or not in show, everywhere. You know, I grind. That's all I do. What you gotta do. So, see you guys next week on the Hypnotic Show, hip hop's finest hour on the radio. And it was a pleasure talking to you guys again, like always. You know, playing bangers for you guys. And then I'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.